Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My favorite time of the week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Listen to this show. You forced me to do this show. I've done so many shows on heart disease, on arterial plaque, but admittedly, it is a deep concept. It's a deep topic. I'm going to go at it today. I'm going to say a lot of things. Really, this show should be 2 hours. Listen. Get on the website after the show. Look, 1 out of 2 to 1 out of 3 Americans get heart disease. We shouldn't have any heart disease. Or here's the real statement. We should know when heart disease is on the way. No one should get surprised by a bypass surgery. No one should be surprised by a heart attack. And yet everybody is. Nobody ever sees it coming. I mean, even if you're not into your health, most people would do something about an oncoming heart attack or plaque formation to the point where you have some sort of serious deficit. Guess what? You're getting ripped off. I don't like to do sensational shows. I hate that kind of stuff in general. I'm not conspiratorial, but I got to tell you something. The way we manage heart disease, in other words, what we do to determine whether or not you, John Q. Public, is going to have a heart attack. Is there a heart attack on the way? Is there a bypass surgery on the way? And what we do after you get it is horrid. Really, cardiology is doing a bad job. I'm not talking about a bad job of saving your life when you're having a heart attack. There they do a great job. And that's typical, right? When you're on the table, you're screaming for help, it's already too late. Then the heroes come to the rescue and they do an outstanding job and everybody claps and you're happy and so on and so forth. But in the aftermath of a heart attack, your life is not the same. In the aftermath of the Bill Clinton surgery, the quadruple bypass, your life is not the same. And the question is what are we doing to make sure that even if we're going to say, look, I'm not going to change my lifestyle, I'm not going to do anything about this, you ought to be really coached, supervised along the way so that it's no surprise when it happens. That's what you're owed, and that's what you're not getting. The only edge on this is to get educated. So you're going to hear me talk technically today. I'll be as simple as I can, but you just have to understand this stuff. It's not hard. Show 337, arterial plaque, what you need to know. First concept, before you tune out, if you tune out, if you've already decided you're not in this class, guess what? You have the wrong attitude. And why is that? Because this is not about heart disease. This is not about plaque in the heart. This show is about plaque in all your arteries. You're the public. You don't make the connection between grandpa that's senile and grandpa that had the heart attack and the other grandpa that can't get an erection. That's the same problem, plaque. No matter where your plaque is, you're going to have an issue. And if it just so happens that the arteries to the penis get plaqued and all you ever deal with into your 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s is impotence, that's not any different than the plaque up in your brain, although you're going to have a different symptom. And there's a whole field of understanding why you plaque in your brain versus why you plaque in your heart versus why you plaque in your abdominal aorta and so on and so forth. Where you get your plaque is another whole subject. When this show is over today, I want you to have the inside track. I may do a second show. I don't know. You know the public, right? they got to hear something new every 15 seconds. It's the way our computerized binary minds are working today. Short attention spans. Everything's got to be new. But I may do two shows on this, one after the other, so you, my audience, can get a comprehensive understanding of where you're getting ripped off and how to make sure you don't. One, you don't need to get plaque. Two, if you get it, you should know when you're approaching danger zones. And three, if you've got it and you want to reduce it, there are options. There are mechanisms at work in your body, and if you feed those natural mechanisms, the ones that are already there, your plaque will start to go away. The body already comes equipped with mechanisms that melt plaque, but we don't feed those mechanisms, right? So let's just understand this here. Let me lay this down for you. It's not about you got plaque and oh, how much. It's about if you act a certain way, if you behave a certain way, you know, eat, exercise, so on and so forth, cleanse. We'll get into it later. But if you act a certain way, your body will make sure you don't plaque. If you don't act a certain way, if you do the wrong things, you'll plaque. If you do the right things, you'll remove the plaque. Plaque is dynamic flux. Plaque is not, I got it, oh no. Plaque is, if you go in one direction, you'll plaque up. If you go in the other direction, you'll start to lose the plaque. The body works that way. You don't know that. You're not told that. What you're told is, if you're lucky, you're really plaqued, you're going to have a heart attack, we got to go in and put in a stent. You're so plaqued, we can't put in a stent. We have to go in, suck out all the coronary arteries, throw in veins, and call veins arteries, which isn't true, which is a big problem, but that's the best we can do, and we do the bypass surgery. We saw open your chest, we cut it open, and we ligate the arteries, and we put in veins instead of arteries. We use your saphenous vein and a few other veins, femoral and saphenous veins. We replace your clogged arteries with your veins from your legs, sew you back up, and send you on your way. You are never the same. Okay, a stent. Okay, a stent. What about a stent? Stents are problematic, but we don't see it that way because when you get a stent, you're about to have a massive heart attack. So we all applaud the stent, and in a sense, we should. Right? If you know you're not supposed to drive without brakes, if you know you're not supposed to drive without brakes, but you drive without brakes and you're about to run a red light and somebody pushes your car to the side before you hit the intersection, that's a hero. So let's clap for heroes and heroic interventions, and let's overlook the fact that we shouldn't have been driving without brakes. And that's kind of what the heart thing is. By the time you're having so much blockage in an artery and you're getting chest pain and you're going to have a heart attack, but you don't, and we put a stent in, well, we're glad. But what about the prequel to that? And it's the same thing with the congestive, with the quadruple bypass, the bypass surgeries. Once we cut through your rib cage, you're not the same. But relative to dying, I think it's a good choice, don't you? And you're 75, so you only have a few more years. So what if you can't stand up after that surgery? So you got to understand, I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. These are the mentalities out there. I got news for you if you're in the geriatric community. All right, if you're over 70, medicine really is not that interested in preserving your future. That is my consistent, relentless observation. Somehow, a nation that looks at aging, wrinkly skin, sagging breasts, sagging buttocks, molds all over your face and back, somehow a nation that looks at aging as something that's atrocious, thus the plastic surgeries, somehow that has seeped its way into medical care. Just look at it that way. And then understand that medicine functions at a financial deficit. We are at a crisis in medicine. The hero, that, you know, you just have to look at the colleges, all right? Back in the 70s and 80s, yeah, you wanted to be a medical doctor. The best and the brightest aren't flocking to medicine today. I kid you not. They are not flocking to medicine because their families who make money are already hip to the fact that medicine ain't what it used to be. So there's all sorts of infiltration into your relationship with the medical community, and I'm not blaming them. Economics, in the end, always reigns. And the economics of medicine are different today, both for how it's paid and in terms of the esteem that doctors once got. They don't stand in the same esteem because medicine's been so corporatized. And somehow the aging process has, and our fear of it, has seeped its way into your relationship with the medical community. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. Case in point, there's a lot of stuff they can do that would allow your 70-year-old body to make it gladly to 95 without heart disease and without senility. But the tests are never run. All right? So understand, you need to listen. And it's not just about your heart. Show 337, arterial plaque, what you need to know. If you can, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's .cc. And let's start taking a look at the pictures if you possibly can. All right. I'm going to try to break up a lot of myths. First of all, the cardiac panel that your doctor runs each year. That cardiac panel must have oxidized cholesterol, oxidized LDL. 95% of cardiology does not run this test. The tests they run are VLDL, LDL, HDL, IDL, apolipoprotein A, apolipoprotein B100, homocysteine. If you're lucky, they run those tests. Other than homocysteine and LDL and HDL, those tests are not particularly relevant. In other words, an advanced cardiac panel now runs a lot of those other tests, the apolipo tests and the VLDL tests. They're really not that relevant. A better way of understanding what the fallacy of your cardiac test is. The cardiac test that's running your cholesterol, your LDL, your homocysteine is doing a bad job. Even if those numbers are good, it's still doing a bad job. And let me explain it to you this way. The way to explain really what the reality of testing needs to be is to understand how plaque forms. That's the key. Now, we all eat fat and we all digest fat, and those fats, saturated fats, butter, eggs, cheese, all break down into different types of what you call essential, different types of fatty acids. And those fatty acids, I have pictures of this on the website. Don't stress the chemistry part of this stuff. But what your fats break down to is carbon and hydrogen, a long chain of it. And there's a lot of energy stored in it. Energy that you need to do the things you're supposed to do with your body. So fats are good. You know that. And those fats in the liver get mixed with another type of compound called cholesterol. Are those fats good? Yes. You need them. Some of them you can't even synthesize in your body. They're called essential fatty acids. Linoleic, linolenic. Some of those fats are essential, meaning you got to get them from the outside. But fats break down to essential fatty acids. They end up in the liver. You need them. Cholesterol is made in the liver, and you ingest some of it in food, and you need that. Well, you know what the liver does? I did a show on liver a few weeks ago, right? It does everything. Well, it does everything. It takes the essential fatty acids, clumps them together in what you call a triglyceride, and then mixes it like a snowball with cholesterol, and then coats it with fatty-like substances and more free cholesterol, and then like you would put chocolate syrup around a snow cone in a line and a line and a line, a swirl and a swirl, it covers it with protein. So let me do that again, because if you can get this, and if you're on the website, you can see pictures of this. And so it's so much easier. But if you're driving, you just kick back and listen, you'll get it. You eat your eggs, you eat your avocado, you eat your meats, you eat your nuts, your cheese. It gets broken down to essential fatty acids. It goes up into the liver, and those fats get snowballed with cholesterol that the liver makes or that you may have ingested also. They're different things. Essential fatty acids and cholesterol are different, but we're going to throw them together in a snowball, and then we're going to take a chocolate syrup dispenser and we're going to swirl in a line around the snowball this string or layer of protein. You know what that's called? A lipoprotein. You know what an LDL is? A low-density lipoprotein. A VLDL is a very low density. It means it weighs less because there's more fat. If there's more protein and less fat in the snowball, it's high density. If there's less protein and more fat, it's a lower density. It's very simple, but nobody ever explained it to you, right? You just know fat, grease, clogged pipes, got it, bad. Clogged pipes, bad. Heart attack, bad. You got to do better than that. You're going to get ripped off. You're being ripped off. Why? We're not being ripped off. The president does an entire forum on many people are on pain-dependent meds. We're an opioid-addicted society. One out of two to one out of three get cancer. One out of two to one out of three get heart disease. We're not in trouble. You know you're in trouble. Try doing business. Everyone you call for business, everyone you talk to is doped up. That's why nobody does anything right. How many of you with your own business get on the phone every day, make 100 calls, 50 calls, and find that half of everyone you speak to doesn't get it straight? You can't even order a hamburger anymore. We're doped up. Get educated. Fatty acids combined with cholesterol, we make a snowball, we put protein on it. All of this goes on in the liver. That's what you call your low-density lipoproteins, your high-density lipoproteins, your intermediate, your very low-density lipoproteins. That's a cardiac panel. Now, the low-density lipoprotein, your LDL. Your LDL, which has cholesterol in it. It has cholesterol. It has cholesterol esters. It has protein coats. It has phosphoglycerides in it. But that LDL is what the doctor's always looking at, right? That's the bad stuff. What's your LDL? It's 200. That's bad. It ought to be 90 or 80. That's bad. Because statistically, now this is what you got to catch. Statistically, if you have more LDL, you have a greater chance of plaquing up on the inside of the artery. So now we're going to get to these inferences or these jumps in logic that are made. And they're not more than jumps in logic. If your LDL cholesterol, LDLs, and what's the difference between LDL cholesterol and total cholesterol? There's cholesterol in all your lipoproteins. So your VLDLs, your IDLs, your HDLs, they all have cholesterol. So LDL cholesterol, what you see, Mr. Smith, as LDL, is designated as the big concern. And it's different. The cholesterol in an LDL is a different number than the total cholesterol because the rest of the lipoproteins have cholesterol also. That's pretty easy to understand. But cardiology decides to just look at the LDL cholesterol. Fine. Why? Because if it's supposed to be under 100 and it's 300 or 250, yes, because there's more of the LDL cholesterol circulating in your blood, you have a higher chance of plaquing. So very, 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 very loosely speaking, okay, very loosely speaking, there's a connection. It's like saying if you live in the hood, if you, Mr. Smith, who goes to church every Sunday, wouldn't kill a fly, wouldn't steal a penny off the street, live in the hood, just because you live in the hood, you have a higher probability of being a criminal. That's about as smart as if your LDLs are higher, you have a higher possibility of having heart disease. It really is a big jump. And even if to some extent it's true, it's weak. It's a weak argument. Let me explain why. Why is just looking at LDL a weak argument? I want you to hold a thought. I just want to get to HDLs. HDLs we call the good cholesterol. The HDL is a lipoprotein, like I described it. Fatty acids, cholesterol esters, phosphoglyceride shell, and a protein coat. HDL, it just happens that what HDL does, which is this big, this little snowball, because it's a high density thing, so it's smaller, it takes LDL cholesterol off the arterial wall and carries it back to the liver. It takes LDL out of circulation, whether it's on the arterial wall or whether it's just in the blood, and takes it back. It's part of a reverse transport, reverse cholesterol transport. So it kind of cleans up the LDL excess. So we say HDL good, LDL bad. Here's what's weak about this argument. And it all comes down to you must get your oxidized LDL measured. No, I don't want you to just write down oxidized LDL and call it a day. You know what the worst question I hear every week at the desk is? Just tell me what to do. I hate that question because it tells me you have no interest in your process. And if you have no interest in your process, if you're busy and you have no interest and you just want to have somebody tell you what to do, you will not win. If you think getting healthy, if you think if you have a predisposition to heart attacks or a lifestyle that's going to bring you a heart attack and you're going to get by just knowing what to do and doing it, don't think that way. It is a bad omen when somebody just wants to be told what to do without understanding why you're doing what you're doing. The thinking man. It is the thinking, evolving, dynamic organism that celebrates the healing. Not the person sometimes with the big bucks that hires somebody and as a service says, just tell me what to do, you're the best and I'll do it. Don't make that mistake. You see? This is where God equalized the world. I'll take a poor person with a good attitude over a rich person with a lousy attitude any day of the week. Bet on the poor man if he's passionate. For us Christians, it all comes down to, do you feel God in your experience? And for that matter, whoever you are, whatever religion, if you feel God in your experience, that's the competitive edge. Very unscientific, I know. All right, hold this about LDL and HDL. Hold this about the lipoproteins. Let's look to plaque formation. If you can get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not.com, .cc. Go to picture number two. Okay, here's the deal. The inside of the artery is just a string of cells. So think of a tube. That tube is your artery. The inside of that tube, what the blood smudges up against, the inside of that artery is just a string of epithelial cells, just cells. It's not something that's like plastic. It's something like plastic, but under the microscope, it breaks down to a cell next to a cell next to a cell next to a cell. And in between those cells is an intercellular space. There's space there. Here's the deal. Now, this is the key. We're 23 minutes into the show. Here's the key. Those cells on the inner lining of the artery, if you take a little pitchfork, a fork, a pin, and you keep sticking those cells, you're going to make them angry. You keep annoying those cells. You go in there with a little pitchfork or a pin or a needle, and you stick those cells on the inner lining of the artery. They start to explode. They blow up. They puff up. And this begins a reaction with an immune system cell that floats in your blood called a white blood cell, which will become a macrophage. The white blood cell, once it sees those epithelial cells on the inner lining of the artery, once it sees that they've been damaged, stuck like pigs, the white blood cell comes on over like the police. And if it sees a problem, it morphs, it transforms. The white blood cell in the blood, seeing your stuck pigged epithelial cell, transforms into what we call a macrophage. Now, a macrophage is an immune system monster. And be glad you have them. They'll eat everything. Anything that doesn't look right, they go after. They go after virus. They go after bacteria. They go after cancer cells. They go after parasites. They go after pesticides, metals, you name it. You want macrophages. However, when the macrophage sees little bits of the epithelial cell sprawled out because it's been stuck by something, we'll get to what that something is. As the macrophage sees these epithelial cells all gutted up, the macrophage blows a whistle and goes after it. And that begins a cascade of big problems. Because the first thing the macrophage does is burrow. It moves like an amoeba. So it burrows in between the epithelial cells into the deeper layers. And it starts eating everything it sees. If it sees more fat in there, because there's been so much fat there to begin with, then it starts eating that fat. And underneath your epithelial layer will be a thick layer of macrophage eating so much fat it dies, and then it turns into a different type of a cell called a foam cell. And so all these disgusting-looking macrophages stuffed with fat. And where did that fat come from? You had a lot of LDL in there, but I'll explain in a moment. All those foam cells, after all those macrophages ate the fat, start to thicken the wall. And plaque formation begins right there. But that's only the beginning of a cascade. Because once you have this plaque formation developing, it'll develop a cap, a fibrous cap. You know what that fibrous cap is? The immune system's laying down fibrin, like mesh, over all these foam cells. All the soft fat comes this layer of fibrin. So you've got the foam cells and the soft fat. You've got the fibrin coming over it. It may calcify, and you may have calcified fatty plaque. And then from deep down inside come this gang of smooth muscle cells that also add into this great big fatty plaque. So there you are, just a lonely little white blood cell spewing around in the blood, and you see damage on the endothelial wall. We're going to get into what damage is it. And you start investigating. And as you investigate, you decide to dive in between the cells of the wall, go in deep, and you find all this fat in there because the LDLs have been running too high. But I'm going to qualify that statement too. And you attack all these chunks of fat. And you eat so much of this fat, you die yourself. The macrophage dies. And there's this big congested blob of fat pushing in your arterial wall. You're developing a bump on the inside of the arterial wall, like a big pimple with pus in it. And that pus is really all the foam cells, dead macrophages stuffed with fat, smooth muscle cells that migrated to the space. And in all that mess, the immune system, the rest of the immune system knows that there's a problem. It lays down fibrin. So you've got this fibrous plaque. And you may calcify that fibrous plaque. So what is a plaque? A plaque is fibrin. A plaque may be calcified. A plaque is a ton of foam cells. A plaque is a bunch of smooth muscle cells that migrated there because they wanted to get in on the party. And all of this starts what? Occluding, decreasing the diameter of the arterial wall. Now, you can stay that way a long time, but what can happen is this big coated lump of fat, coated with this fibrous top, can rupture like popping a pimple. And when it does, all hell breaks loose. And that rupture will create such inflammation that the red blood cells in the blood coming by will clot. Now you have a plaque and a clot, and that's your heart attack. That's your stroke. That's your occlusion. That's your chest pain. If you're on the website straighttalk.cc, pictures make this so easy. I think I've done a good job of explaining it. But what does it all come down to for you? In this symphony, in this cascade I just described, there's some missing pieces. Now, here's the missing piece. When the white blood cell is looking for damage on that endothelial layer, that damage is damaged by something. Yeah, you know what something means? If you smoke, you damage the endothelial layer. You damage the wall of the arteries if you smoke. If you're under high stress, if you work at LAX and you're a jet fuel mechanic, if you're sucking in what? Now, those of you who have listened to the show can appreciate this. If you're free radical, if you're free radical titer, if the amount of circulating free radical has gotten to the point where what's in your blood is a bunch of angry hornets looking to chip off the paint on the wall, so to speak. If the titer, if the sum total of all the free radicals circulating in your blood hit a certain threshold, you're going to damage the inner layer of the artery faster than the inner layer of the artery can repair itself. Okay, I just said a lot, and it's key. So I laid this whole cascade out for you that explained to you what a plaque was all the way to the rupture of the plaque. And I said that the white blood cell has to see a broken down inner wall of the artery. And then it starts to investigate, becomes a macrophage, and then a foam cell. I explain that. What erupted? What created the damage to the inner layer of the artery? That's what you call your free radical damage. That's what you call your oxidative stress. The truth is, what promotes the damage to the inner wall of the artery is really what drives the process. Amidst all our markers, IDL, LDL, VLDL, cholesterol, total cholesterol, triglycerides, amidst all that you're being tested, what it really comes down to is how much of the inner wall of the artery is being damaged, free radical. If a free radical is an oxygen-driven free radical, it's called oxidative stress. So free radical stress, rather oxidative stress, is just a subset of free radical stress. Those stresses just mean something's eating up the inside of your arterial wall. If your profile, if you're Mr. Smith and we profile you out, and based on the way you live, you're creating too much free radical damage, meaning the arterial wall is breaking up faster than you can repair it, that's what drives plaque formation. Yeah, you got to have the LDL cholesterol there because that's what's sticking to the walls. That's what's starting to build up deep in the arterial layer. You got to have that. So it's understandable that your cardiologists measure the amount of LDL cholesterol. But it's not going to stick if there's no damage to the arterial wall. And if you look at the whole process, it's damage to the arterial wall that really drives the process. So what damages the arterial wall? That answer is specific to you and everything you do that's bad for your health. This is what we're not profiling out. The real key in cardiology, as in any facet of medicine, would be to look at you, Mr. Smith, and say, based on your lifestyle, you're producing free radicals at so fast a rate that you can't possibly repair them, and you're breaking down, and that will apply to your arterial wall. This is why this heart attack thing sneaks up on so many people. If you work at LAX and you're a jet fuel mechanic, make no mistake about it. The amount of poison you're bringing into your body, if you work on cars, if you work in construction, if you live in a very toxic area, if you smoke cigarettes, if you don't get your sleep, if you're under high stress, if you eat at McDonald's once or twice a day, if you call health a bunch, if you call your weekly experience something that's filled with a lot of things you do for your health, a lot of behavioral patterns, choices you make that are not healthy, if you profile out as one of those people who are just not healthy, meaning you do things that are not good for you, your free radical titers are going to go way up and you're going to put yourself at risk. Here's another one. Blood sugar. If you're running high blood sugar, if you're running high insulin, I didn't say if you were diabetic. I said if you've lived pre-diabetic for 30 years, you're running enough oxidative damage in your blood to begin to break down the endothelial layer of your arteries. That process is what attracts the macrophage and white blood cell to the wall of the artery. And that process we completely overlook. We don't look at that. Now, here's the second thing that they don't really focus on that's bad. The same factors that destroy the endothelial wall destroy your LDL cholesterol. Your LDL, your low-density lipoprotein, gets beat up by the same things that beat up the arterial wall. That's why you have to measure your oxidized cholesterol. Oxidized cholesterol is sticky. A beat up arterial wall, all those endothelial layers, is sticky. Basically, if the inside of your artery, where the blood is a war zone, both the LDL cholesterol and the inner arterial wall get sticky. And what happens? It becomes the Velcro story. Sticky gets near sticky and they stick. I think you just got it. Did you just get it on that? If the LDL cholesterol was not sticky and you had it up at 400, like the Eskimos, and the inner arterial wall was not sticky, guess what? You wouldn't make plaque. It's not just the LDL. It's the amount of LDL that's sticky. It's not just the arterial wall. It's the amount of the arterial wall that's broken down and therefore sticky. The question is, inside that artery and on that LDL molecule, how much of it creates an environment where the two pieces are going to stick to each other? That's how you build plaque. Do you see the difference there? That's why I put the show and I archive it. You've got to understand what I'm saying. And those of you who listen and don't look at the pictures, sometimes you got to look at the pictures. You have to get this. Now, out there, if you check on Google and the internet and YouTube, there's a whole lot of people pointing to oxidized LDL is what you should get and what you should get measured. Why? That's the sticky cholesterol. What about the stickiness of the arterial wall? That's tougher to determine. You want to have a sense of how much oxidative stress you are suffering from as a whole. You understand how many surprises occur in cardiology, how many times people get their cardiac profile minus oxidized LDL and they have these massive heart attacks. Happens all the time. And people are like, how could this happen? His numbers were so good. If you have relatively low cholesterol and you have relatively low, if you have your LDL cholesterol, your low density lipoprotein cholesterol at 100, which is a great number, they say, how could you possibly have a heart attack? How could you plug up in your arteries? You can, and you do all the time. And the reason is, of that LDL, even though it's only at 100, most of it is sticky. So the number can be low, but most of it can be oxidized. And that's what's missed. And as far as damage to the interior lining, you take a guy that smokes from age 18 to 40. That's 22 years of lots of damage to the arterial wall. And then he stops and he gets healthy. But according to him, he's healthy. He stops smoking and he eats his greens. By the time you're 60, the inside of your arteries is so pockmarked that you're drawing everything to it and more. Although you haven't smoked for 22 years. You see, that's a tricky business to determine the damage to that inner layer of the artery. But that damage to the inner wall of the artery is something that your body knows how to repair. You have to go into an anabolic state to do it, though. See, there's no way around it, gang. You have to understand health. Otherwise, you're never going to have it. I just said a mouthful. If you damaged your arterial layer from smoking, I'll give you an example. From age 18 to 40, you were a jet fuel mechanic and you smoked a pack a day. Your arterial wall is damaged. And then from 40 to 65, you became a lawyer. In your mind, you ought to be repaired. You shouldn't have sticky arterial linings, and yet you will and you do. Because despite the fact that your lifestyle is a little better, you never crossed a threshold into the anabolic state. You never got very healthy. Once you're damaged to repair, you've got to get very healthy. You just can't give up what destroyed you. People make that mistake all the time. Do you think the cigarettes and the birth control pill and all the drugs I did and this and that and the other thing 40 years ago, 30 years ago, are still a factor? Are you kidding me? I haven't had a drop in 30 years. And I buy organic, and I eat my salads, and I take my daily multiple. That person's dreaming. It's just that you don't know. You don't know. Once you're damaged, you have to get very healthy. You have to cross the threshold. If you don't understand what I'm saying, I did a show on this, anabolism and catabolism. I did this show a couple of weeks ago. If you're sick and you really want to get to a place where you can relax, you must get anabolic. You must clearly become very healthy. You can lend that to your common sense, or you can investigate and learn what I'm talking about. Listen to my past show on this. Very important. All right. LDL cholesterol. Is it bad if it's too high? Yes. The better test is oxidized cholesterol to determine if it's sticky. The stickiness of the arterial wall, you have to have a sense of how much damage you've incurred in your life and what your lifestyle is, what your oxidative stress pattern is, to really get a sense of how much damage lives there. Now, let's say you've got an idea, but you really don't have precision over this subject. Go to your cardiologist, and number one, whatever your health care plan is, whoever you are, you must get a carotid ultrasound. And they must tell you percent occlusion, not you're good. When you're 70 and you're half plaqued, they'll tell you mild plaquing, nothing to think about. They'll tell you that. Of course they'll tell you that, because if you're 70, they figure in 10 years you're dead. It's not that they're sitting there like bad people with the devil's horns. It's simply that the standard of care gets sloppy. Statistics are weird things. Running your life by statistics, which is what actuaries like, which is what makes the bank positive or negative, is potentially dangerous. And that you may be 50% occluded at 70 years old in your carotid artery, and that means that it'll take till you're 90 for you to have a serious occlusion, allows them to say you're moderately plaqued, but don't worry. That's the truth. That's not good. Because that carotid artery is a marker. It's a marker for what's going on in the rest of your body. If the carotid artery is 50% plaqued, and you're not going to know that unless they give you percentages, you want to know the percentage next year. And next year, you want to know the rate of progression. In addition to which, if the carotid artery, which is just a carotid ultrasound, which is an easy test to get, it's non-invasive, it's a little sound head on your neck. It's ultrasound. It's not going into a radiation chamber. You must understand that if you've never had one. But the point is, if there's plaque in your carotids, maybe there's plaque in your coronary arteries, not to mention the rest of your body, like your brain. What? If you're 70 and your memory's not that good, are you going to be sitting in a chair looking out a window in an old age home at 80, not knowing how to recognize your family? Guess what? It starts at 50. If I was going to end up senile at 80, I'd want to know if my carotids were plaqued. Because if my carotids are moderately plaqued, maybe my brain is completely plaqued. Maybe my brain parallels my carotid. Maybe my heart parallels my carotid. How many of you get a carotid ultrasound every year? Not a lot of you. It's not run. They give you a treadmill test, maybe, and they look at your LDL cholesterol and tell you go on a statin drug and don't worry about it. Are you kidding me? You think we get ripped off in international trade relations? You get ripped off every year in cardiology. It's not the cardiologist's fault. That's what they tell them to do. The corporation runs medicine. The medical doctors don't like it either. The corporation and the way the numbers work and the money game mean minimal testing. There's a good side to that, too. Keeps costs down. But there's a very bad side to it as far as cardiology is concerned. They screen you. What, a treadmill test? All right, let's keep going. There's another test. It's called a coronary calcium CT scan. That will tell you how much calcified plaque is in the coronary arteries. It's called a coronary calcium CT scan. They should be run. If you're a calcifier, which is a whole other discussion, I'm not even going to get into it. I've mentioned it so many times. Some people calcify more often than others. Let me give you a hint. If you're the kind of person that has lumps in your fingers, you're a calcification type. If you have lumps in your fingers and you have heart disease in your family, make sure you're running a coronary calcium CT scan. Why? It'll tell you the amount of calcified plaque in your arteries, the coronary arteries, the ones you're interested in. If that number's up high, it's a marker and it means something. If your calcium score on the left anterior descending or the circumflex artery of the heart is up at 300, 400, 500, that's many times what it's supposed to be. If I were you, I'd be thinking about an angiogram to get a picture. I'd bring that to my cardiologist. I'd be running oxidized LDL. I'd be running a carotid ultrasound with percent occlusion. I'd be making sure they measured homocysteine, none of which they'll do. They don't even measure homocysteine. Homocysteine is another important marker, and it's a very important marker for calcified plaque. Now, the problem with the coronary calcium CT scan, the problem with it is, suppose all your plaque is fatty plaque. Suppose all your plaque is fatty plaque. It's not going to show up on the coronary calcium CT scan. That'll be negative. That's why a lot of cardiologists don't like to run it. Because lots of plaque doesn't have calcium in it. It's just not your genetics. It's just not what the terrain allows. So it comes up negative. And you're the public, so you think you're fine when you're still plaqued. And the cardiologist knows that, doesn't want to create a false impression, so doesn't run the test. That is a mistake. That's like saying to you, if the test is negative, the doctor has to sit down and go, look, it's negative, but it only tells us if the plaque is calcific. If it's fatty, don't trust the test. The doctor's got to explain that to you. Maybe they don't trust you. And furthermore, the doctor's got to answer to whoever okays the test. And those guys really are not that interested in your health, even if the doctor is. Coronary calcium CT scan, carotid ultrasound. Then you've got to run also the oxidized LDL. Now, suppose you know you've got plaque. Suppose they find your carotid arteries 50% occluded. Or suppose they do an angiogram and they notice that, like an angiogram, now that is like a biopsy. That angiogram is they go in with a camera and they take pictures. Very sophisticated stuff. Doctors don't run it unless they think they may have an imminent crisis. But let's say you've had that done. Let's say you smoked. Let's say you drank. Let's say you're pre-diabetic. Let's say you've got Frank's crease, that crease in your ear that increases the probability. Let's say you've got an arcus senilis, which is that calcium cholesterol ring around the iris. Let's say it's in your family history. Let's just say you're a highly probable case. And let's say they run an angiogram and now you're plaqued. Let's say you're 40 or 50% plaqued. Guess what? They're not going to do a bypass when you're 50% plaqued. They're not even going to put a stent in. You know what they're going to do? Usually nothing. They're going to say, let's watch it. Let's make sure you get these tests every year. Now, what you don't understand is that one day under stress, that 50% occlusion will find you and it in a situation where under stress, your artery will constrict, meaning the artery's diameter will go down 50% because you're under stress. So if they test you and you have a 50% occlusion, well, you're fine because you get enough blood through. But suppose under stress, that artery heavily constricts and you are 50% occluded. Bingo, you have a massive coronary. So you know what they should give you if they know you have reasonable plaque? Nitroglycerin. But they don't. They don't. Chronic angina gets nitroglycerin. Other than that, if a heart attack's on the way, you have the markers, but you haven't had one yet, I never see it used. It's the first thing you use because the day you have the heart attack, because you screwed up and didn't take care of anything, at least you've got the nitro. That nitro will save your heart from damage. All right, maybe I'm going to do part two next week. Those of you who have concern about the health, your health for anything, you want the education, you want to get set on the right track, call my number, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. Call, make the appointment, get set on the right track. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.